Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, increasing and reaching your child's full potential. Each week, our objective is to help you as a parent, guardian, or loved one direct the path of a young person by empowering you with knowledge and understanding. Each week, you will be enlightened and moved into a position of positive parental involvement and influence. I am Phyllis Austin, and I am the founder of the National Parent Education Center, where we educate parents on education, help parents create quality education for their child, and advocate with parents on educational issues. Good morning, welcome to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. I'm your host, Phyllis Austin. I welcome and honor your presence in the classroom. Oh, it's going to be a hot topic today. Go ahead and fire up those phones. Our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, 347-855-8603. And we're talking about cheating. We're going to look at the state of education through the APS cheating trial and decision situation. So the title of our show is APS Cheating Trial and Decision, What It Means to a Parent, the State of Education. And I welcome you to the chat room. Nationally, what is the state of education through the aperture of APS cheating trial decision? And I was going to include sentence, but no sentence came out this week. And I want you to not assume that the landscape contributing to the APS cheating is no longer in existence. So welcome to the lesson. And as with every lesson, I like to make sure that we have a clear understanding of the meaning of the terms. Let's look at the meaning of cheating. Now, in most people, now look this up, okay? Cheating, to defraud, swindle, deceive, okay? Now, that's not the cheating they're talking about in the APS cheating, okay? So let's not think that you're not going to be defrauded in education, swindled, or deceived about your child's ability now that it's broke. They have narrowed this cheating scandal is specific to this particular definition I'm about to mention, to take an examination or test in a dishonest way. Okay? So as we look at this, as you're being a parent, don't think that, oh, well, now I'm not going to be swindled, deceived, or defrauded about my child's abilities, especially reading and math or whatever their skills development in the school. That's not what this case is about. This case is about a dishonest way of taking a test or examination. Those are two different things. And I wanted to say that because when we look at the state of the education system, and I can get into the 2013 report here, which states that according to a 2013 report by the Government Accountability Office, 40 states detected instances of cheating by educators in the previous 2 years. Okay, 40. Okay, 40. 40 out of 50. Okay, do you get the picture? So we're talking about nationally, this is a problem. Now, that's a detection of cheating. We're not talking about the defrauding, the swindle, and deception. So, Ms. Austin, here's the question. Somebody's asking me, well, what do you mean by this? Well, let me tell you. The grading scale, the lowering of the grading scale, is that not deceptive? Okay? For example, here's something. When I was in school, I attended school in Chicago, an A was 95. And now an A in most districts are 90. I don't think that's an A. But it sounds great. You lower the grading scale and you say more kids are academically eligible for scholarships. They're scoring high. They have higher GPAs. Yes, if you lower the grading scale. And that was done, and that's being done across the country. There are cases where there's no D on the grading scale. Literally, if you have a 69, you have an F. If you have a 70, you have a C. And that's actually done in APS where there's no D. Now, do you think that's deceptive? I think so. Think about the child who's in a district where there's no D. They put a certain amount of effort into their work, and they believe that they're a C student, okay? Because if they score all 70s, they're a C student. They go to college in that same state, Georgia, where there is a D on the grading scale. They put in an effort, okay, and they get 8D, and they lose the Hope Scholarship. Don't you think that that is deceptive? These are the things that we are looking at. Let's look at the books, the level of reading skills required to read child books. That has decreased. Look at a child's reading material or a book from the 70s and the 80s and compare it to now. Those are those standards have been lowered, okay? So now as a parent, you were raised in the 70s or 80s, you're not really paying attention to this, but the standard has been lowered, so now there's a deceptive practice. You're misleading the child to thinking that they're making these gains, and they're not. One of my biggest pet peeves, the move from norm reference testing to criterion reference testing, and that's my biggest pet peeve probably in everything, because a norm reference test like the ITBS, or the SATs, they still out there, ACTs. They tell you how your child is positioned, PSATs, but especially the ITBS, the Iowa test, the basic skill, was really the only test that we took in elementary school. And some of you said, problem is awesome, but that was a long time ago. No, it wasn't, because they still take the ITBS test today. However, it's not every year in a lot of school districts. But the ITBS tells you how your child is positioned. When a parent comes to me, they say, "Ms. Austin, my child's doing great. They did well on the CRCT." I'm like, "Well, I want to see the norm reference test, the ITBS." And you look at the ITBS. That ITBS tells me how they compare to other people who took that test across the country. Okay? So I can tell them if they are in line to even get a scholarship by the time they get to high school or beyond in the college, because it's positioning. They may be in the top 10 or 20% of their class across the country. Instead, we have moved to this criterion reference testing, which really is about school improvement, not so much student improvement. Some of it can be student improvement, but you don't know how the child is positioned against really somebody sitting next to them. They don't know. You don't know if they're higher or lower. There's no percentile, okay, or people in the whole district who have taken the test. So you're not comparing against the SES social economic status, whereas the ITBS would take all that into consideration. Another way of misleading kids, preparing everyone for college, okay, especially when the data is not right. A lot of kids base their beliefs that they are good college material, but as you can see, the grading scale is lowered. They're using criterion reference testing, meaning the expectation. Who knows what the expectation is, okay? And the material, read material, has been, the skill required to read the material has been, the level is lower. So a lot of kids are going to college. They have these astronomical loans. Really, we're going to talk about subprime lending in college, which is a way to keep American these banks receiving money off the backs of, especially kids who really don't need to go to college in terms of their career, or they don't know what they're going to do. You need to have a plan of exiting college. And they may be able to get the same type of education or skill in a technical school. So these are the things that are misleading. So are we talking about cheating in terms of defrauding, swindling, or deceiving youth and parents? No. No. So I want parents who are listening to this broadcast, this podcast, to understand if you are in the mindset that, wow, the system's changed, no one's not going to deceive me when I go to school, I'm going to get the accurate information about my child's abilities, their skills, abilities, and knowledge. No, you're not, okay? Because this cheating scandal is strictly about test taking, and the state of education in America is about, especially in public education more specifically, and I'm going to really focus on more of the traditional public schools, not the charter schools now, but the state of education now, is the belief that we have not reached the glass ceiling. We can still make these gains in developing the skills, especially in reading and math, of our clients, the students who attend the public schools. And that's not the case. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin, and we are talking about APS cheating, the trial decision, what it means to the parent, the state of education, more importantly, nationally, what is the state of education through the aperture of APS cheating, trial decision, and decision. We're going to go to commercial break, and we're going to be right back, and we're going to really get into this APS cheating. Feel free to call in. Our call in number is 347-855-8603. Again, our call in number is 347-855-8603. We're going to go to a commercial break and be right back.
Hello, this is Phyllis Austin, founder of the National Parent Education Center. When I first started this organization, I wanted to make sure that parents understood what a quality education is and what it looks like. Do you know that most state constitutions only provide for an adequate education? Here at the National Parent Education Center, we help parents create and receive a quality education for their child. Please support our efforts by making a $5 donation. You may donate more, but please donate. Visit tnpec.org and donate now. Thank you.
Okay, and welcome back to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. And just to let you know, we are going to begin our fundraising campaign this week to create and initiate our national online classroom where we'll be educating parents online so they will have an understanding of how to work with their children and maximize their greatest potential. So you can go and start donating now to tnpec.org, and there's different levels, but one is a beautiful bag for a $25 donation. Let's get back into our topic today, cheating, APS cheating. Now, everybody should have heard adequate yearly progress, especially under the Bush administration's No Child Left Behind. And if I'm not mistaken, going from memory, there are 2 percentile points. So you're at a 54, they wanted you to go to a 56, adequate yearly progress. Here's the key percentile. Here's what they need to recognize. You're not going to reach 100%. At some point, you're going to top out. You're going to reach your potential. So the fact that you have this supposedly ongoing ability to progress makes no sense. Okay. Well, what occurred under No Child Left Behind, and it's still under Obama's. You tie federal funding to outcomes, not positioning. There's a totally different thing. You tie federal funding to outcomes. You're saying, look, if a child scores this or gains, and instead of tying federal funding to resources that are needed to make the most gains as possible, you have set a criterion to say you can meet, you should be able to meet this gain or show this level of improvement. It still goes on with those states that are on Race to the Top under Obama. Okay? Okay, let me stay focused because I was going to tell you a story that came across this week, but let me stay focused here. So basically what occurred in Georgia is the Atlanta Journal reported that it was statistically improbable, okay? Improbable means low probability, possible, but improbable. The probability is low that these gains could have been made. Now, let's look at just the state of Georgia for a second. There were 74 schools involved in this hit list or determined that there was cheating. And I'm just going to go down the list. But 43 of them were in Atlanta. There were 3 schools in Fulton County, and this is statewide Georgia, 2 schools in Clayton County, and this is according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, by the way, Bibb County, that's down in Macon, 2 schools, Spalding, 2 schools, Muskegee County, 2 schools, Richmond County, 2 schools, Carroll County, 1 school, Gainesville, 1 school, Whitman County, 1 school, and Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice, 1 school. So first of all, there were a lot of schools involved, 74 schools across 10 school districts. And again, that's not for defrauding. That's just tests, okay? There's a problem with the test. Statistically impossible for these games. Now, again, that's just in the state of Georgia. This occurred in 2009. However, in 2013, report according to a 2013 report by the Government Accountability Office, 40 states detected instances of cheating by educators in the previous 2 years. So this scandal started to erode in 2009, but in 2013, which means the prior 2 years of 2012-2011, 40 states detected cheating. So that tells you that this is the state of our education. This is the state of our education. When you send your child to school, and I've stated it before, when you get your child's report card, you have to make a decision as a parent. Does this make sense? And if you are listening to your child read, talk, communicate with you, then you have enough data to say this child cannot possibly be an A or B student. It makes no sense. The growth, again, when I moved from Chicago to DeKalb County, Georgia, my child went from a C student to an A student. That didn't make sense to me. But I later learned that DeKalb County, their standard is what they base. What it's based on is somewhat totally different than the standard in Chicago. So at that time, now it's at that time now, at that time, you're comparing apples and oranges. And just to give you an idea, I was speaking with a friend. I told her I was going to call her. She has 4 children. Call her on a Saturday morning when she's trying to sleep. I was speaking to a friend. She said, you know, in one school district, let's compare it, just tell the story the way it is in DeKalb. Her child was on target. You know, your child's doing great. Reading, math, wonderful, wonderful, great. She moved to Rockdale in that school district. The child was behind. Oh, no, we have to work. The child doesn't know sight words. We have to work. The child should be reading by the end of kindergarten. The standards were different. And as a parent, you need to understand what standard, what is the expectation? Because there's no unified system across the United States. There is no unified grading scale. We do not use the same grading scale. We don't even use the same grading scale within the same school district sometimes. Chicago is a primary example. The grading scale changes from one school to the next. And sometimes we don't use the same grading scale within the same state. Okay? And so you exhibiting an A student status over here, whereas over here you're not an A student status. And parents are not aware of the particulars, the qualifiers to pay attention to understand where their child really is in the development of their knowledge, skills, and abilities. And so in this article, the person who wrote the article about the government, Jennifer Jennings, a sociology professor at NYU who studies standardized tests, said she noted that even in Texas, whose reform model inspired No Child Left Behind, scholars doubted whether students have progressed as rapidly as the data suggested. Administrators exempted low-performing students from taking the test and underreported dropouts. that that was in Texas. What state do you live in? Give me a call. I'll call the number 347-855-8603. Again, that's 347-855-8603. And we're talking about cheating through the aperture of Atlanta Public Schools cheating, the trial and everything that just took place. But this is a national issue, and we just mentioned that 40 across Georgia, there were 74 schools involved in the United States, 2013-04, that 40 states were involved in cheating. Can you trust your child or what the school is saying about your child's acquisition of knowledge, skills, and understanding? I think you better not put 100% into it. You're listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. And our call-in number is 347-855-8603. Again, our call-in number is 347-855-8603. As a parent sitting out and listening to this podcast, the first and a grandparent, the stats would just blew me away. The stats that I gave 40 states, that would just have blown me away, because now it's more than likely that my children and my grandchildren are included in this misrepresentation of my child's acquisition and their level of knowledge, skills, and abilities, okay? Because when you go to school, you're acquiring knowledge, you're developing skills, and you're getting some understanding, so knowledge, skills, and abilities, and you're able to perform these tasks and demonstrate you have the ability to perform the task, demonstrate this knowledge and the understanding. And that's what we need to be aware of. You are more likely to be included if you live in one of these 40 states than excluded. And that's something you should really think about as a parent and as a guardian of someone who is raising a child. Now, John Ewing, how do you pronounce these names? I'm going to read a statement, what he said. So you really can understand the state of public education when it comes to cheating, defrauding, deceiving you about your child's, oh boy, about your child's abilities. John Ewing, who served as the executive director of the American Mathematical Society for 15 years, and this, again, was going back to this article, stated, he is perplexed by educators' infatuation with data. Their faith that it is more authoritative than using their own judgment. He explains the problems in terms of Campbell's Law, a principle that describes the risk of using a single indicator to measure complex social phenomena. The greater the value placed on a quantitative measure like test scores, the more likely it is that the people using it and the process it measures will be corrupted. The end goal of education, as he states, isn't to get students to answer the right number of questions, he said. The goal is to have curious and creative students who can function in life. In a 2011 paper, in notices of the American Mathematical Society, he warned that policymakers were using mathematics to intimidate, to preempt debate about the goals of education and the measures of success. Let me repeat that. You're using this test, okay, to intimidate, and I like to say this, to mislead people about the measures of success. That's my own interpretation. That's what you're doing. Let's go to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Phyllis Austin. You know, parenting is very difficult. I don't know too many parents who can raise a child to 18 years of age without getting stuck, not knowing what to do. So I would like you to visit householddna.com and view the Household DNA Parenting Pyramid. Learn about the 7 principles of parenting, 4 of which you should be actively doing every day. Next, visit PhyllisAustin.com and click on the Power Bookstore for great parent resources. You can pick up my latest book, God Has Not Forgotten You, written for teenagers and college students. While there, get your copy of my ever-popular book, From Parent to Power. Don't parent in fear. visit Austin, PhyllisAustin.com today for your book and parent resources. Thank you.
Great, and welcome back. I left off saying there's a misleading about the measures of success, and this sociologist, actually he's a mathematician, kind of confirmed it. You're using or the use of the test to measure, this one test to measure success. When we were coming up, and I have to say this, the ITBS was a measurement of positioning. And I always say the outcome and positioning are two different things. Positioning gives you an idea of your bargaining power, okay? I don't like to say self-worth, but your bargaining power. When you know your position, I was a student who wrote me, and I said, one mistake you fail to recognize is my position. I said, whenever you negotiate, know someone's position, because that tells you about your bargaining power. So when you took the ITBS score, which was a norm reference score, which is a norm reference score, when you take the SAT, the ACT, you know your position, okay? And so you are able, if they give the right test, you know your position, you know how many people are in front of you, how many people are behind you. You have an understanding of looking at the data, how many people are going to apply to certain programs, especially if you plan on going to college. You understand your chance of getting in there based on your positioning, based on this non-reference test. You move from ITBS first through eighth to your SATs and your ACTs. Well, if you're defrauded in the first eight schooling years from first through eighth grade and you don't understand your positioning and you think you're doing well based up on some criterion reference tests, which talks about meet expectation, no really percentile numbers, and then you go into high school and all of a sudden you're further behind than you thought, isn't that a form of cheating? But again, that's not what this is talking about. This really talks about the actual cheating. I was cheating on tests. I was speaking with a colleague this week, and I said, we reached the glass ceiling. I said, and this is what I tell parents all the time. The school system has done what it can do as far as making any gains. I shouldn't say any, as far as making significant gains, because most of the problem is no longer in the schools, it's with the family. And I remember telling my brother this, when a child is born, it's based upon the family's positioning, conditions, that which people start writing about. This child is going to experience this in life or whatever, they have a 44% chance. This child hasn't walked into a classroom, let alone enter pre-K or preschool, but what does that say? You're behind, or statistically there's a problem or stereotype that you're not going to match up. Now, whether it's true or not depends on how that it relates to you as an individual. However, statistically, those things come out as soon as that child is born. Does the parents have education? What area? That's before the child ever enters into the classroom. Now, there was a book written about North Lawndale in Chicago, the area that I grew up in. Basically, it was all statistics. You know, this is going to occur. The difference it was we had a strong parent. There was a father in our life. Although it was divorced, we still had contact with our father. They're involved. And there was there was that care and concern, and there was an acquisition of informal education on the part of my mother and father, and especially my mother, to do the research to know what high schools and the best programs. And for my brother, one of my brothers who had dyslexia, she understood that college, that tech vocational program would best serve him. We have a lot of problems in our families, and until we recognize that the next level of success is really educating our parents and helping our parents to be educators, primary educators, before that child enters into the regular education system. I have a lot of, I've said this to a colleague this week, and I just want to back it up with an article that I read. It's a New York article, and the two articles that I'm pulling from, we posted the links on in the description, the website. what it relates to Parks Middle School. This was a teacher, and this is what they understood about the population. I don't know if the teacher will mention the name, so I will not mention the name, okay? And he did suffer consequences for cheating. But he told students to dump their, listen to this, and then we'll talk about why. He told students to dump their laundry into the back of his pickup truck so he could take it for them. He would go home and wash it for them, okay? Let me just read what it says. He told the students to dump the laundry into the back of his pickup truck so that he could wash it for them and encouraged them to sleep at his house when their mothers were absent or high. Few had fathers in their lives. So when you're talking, that's one little nugget of the problems that you encounter as an educator. You have parents who are high. You don't have fathers. You have kids living by themselves. Kids are not clean. When they sit down for a test, do you really think that they're focused on the test? So the reality of some of these gains are just statistically improbable. Even after the cheating scandal, which some of them confessed to, he and other teachers at Park spent their own money to buy groceries, HIV medications, furniture, and clothes for students and their mothers, and this continued even after he was fired. It was because of the money, I can promise you that, he said. So, I mean, it wasn't because of the money, okay? So it wasn't because of this money that was tied to the showing of gain. We have to understand that the school public education has a tremendous challenge, okay? And I get tired. I don't want people to dump on public education because it, overall, when you talk about problems in some of these communities with the family, that is probably the only institution that's stable in the child's life is the routine of going to school, seeing this teacher, coming home, being fed. Okay, I ran into a child at Walmart, but his mother and father were begging. No, his mother and the child were there begging because they had no food, and the kids are on spring break, so this child didn't eat. I said, I'm going to call the school. Of course, I gave them some food, and I made sure they had a place to stay because as an officer of the court, I have to do that, okay? Make sure they have a place to stay. And I said, I will call the school Monday morning because during the summertime, this child won't be able to eat. So you have to realize we have reached a glass ceiling, and delivering services for students in the public school. Whenever there's a problem in the household, the school is the place where we're supposed to be able to cure that problem and at the same time show growth in the child's skills, abilities. If you want growth, you have to look outside the school. And it's my belief that's what we do as an organization is to take into account, look, we have to educate parents and help them be better. They're primary educators once a child is, even before the child is born, once the child is conceived, and understand how to parent and stop yelling and cursing kids out and everything like that. Okay? Now, what's going to happen because of the APS cheating scandal? I think it has already started to happen. I think you're going to have more kids going into the homeschooling process because now parents are made aware that even though the child's on homeschooling, that there are certain activities that the nearby public school or the school district is still responsible for. I talked about charter schools. You're going to have more of, I talked about four models of charter schools. Four models being erected in a show called Charter Schools. The last one was school districts, especially huge school districts. For the last two, they're either going to convert solely to charter school district or they're going to look for management companies and charter schools. I mean, people to take over as charter schools because You're talking about impossible gains. And when you have people constantly complaining that you're not educating and we're not looking at the families and what's going on in the family, then school district is going to say, look, you be responsible for developing a governing body to educate young children. And I think that's that crash and burn where the writing is on the wall that there's a problem. The trial. I've seen already where educators are skittish. You're not going to have too many educators going out their way saying, look, they're going to go straight by the books. Do I think the misleading is going to stop? No. I tell you why. Because this is only, the APS cheating scan only reflected one aspect of cheating, which is on the examination, okay? It's just like getting caught in a lie. But it's not versus lying by omission or lying by misleading you. So that one aspect, do I think parents will stop being misled? No. We still have a government policy on Obama's educational policy that's tied to money. And as long as it's tied to money, you're going to be misled. Okay? Now, will you see this outright cheating? Examination, sure. But will you see cheating disappear? Of course not. Okay? Because as we started off, program with cheating to defraud, swindle, or deceive. That's not going to go away. Of course, you can call in with your comments. Call in number 347-855-8603. As teachers learn that their license can be revoked, okay, you can have revocation of your license. Again, you want to have more charter schools and more management systems. Now, here in Georgia, you have our governor, Governor Neal, talking about we're going to take over the state education system. Neal, I invite you to do one thing. Just go through some YouTube videos and look at the fighting and different things that occur between teachers and students and different things in schools that have been taken over by states. Okay, I think they're unrealistic. Again, you're not living in reality when you expect certain things to occur. You have to stop tying gains, specific gains, to money, federal money. You got to stop doing that. You have to stop doing this. You can tie money to gains, okay? You have to have a certain growth improvement. That's the better word. But to reach a certain mark where we are now with the disintegration of the family, can you imagine you telling me a child on a test or is going to be so into learning what's going on when they go home and their spirit is being broken or they're called or they're being abused or neglected? We don't have systems to deal with the family problems. We don't have great social systems, Department of Children and Family Services. We don't have, especially in Georgia, we don't have those systems in place to eradicate all the social ills or family issues from the family to say this child is going to school mentally and prepared and in the mindset to just consume and absorb all the knowledge. We have an unrealistic expectation. Okay? That's as far as the trial. As far as the decision. As far as the decision, one of the articles used the term bifurcate or bifurcation. And what that means is there's a dividing into two. And I like that term, bifurcation. You have charged these people with racketeering, like a criminal organization. First of all, there's no criminal, you talk about a small percentage of people who have engaged in this act, okay? And the organization at the very end is APS, Atlanta Public Schools. And if the organization has not sat around and decided, even if it's just Beverly Hall, Beverly Hall, she's passed away, the superintendent, she wasn't even elected by the people, okay? So you have this board of education. If the board members didn't sit around and conspire to do wrong, seriously racketeering, Okay, you're saying because two people, they were organized to do something. I think, I don't think that was the right charge. The fact that their license revoked education, they would probably never get another job in education unless they set up their own school system or their own school, private school. They can do that unless they set up their own private school or charter school. Make sure their name is not on the government, the name as far as the person founded the organization. But they probably would never get another job in education. And I have to refer to the article written, and again, the links are on in the description. They're on the website for this show. People involved in mortgages didn't get racketeering, and they sat down and conspired to cheat the American public and create these instruments that will, these mortgage instruments to cheat the American public and homeowners and people who apply for mortgages. Therefore, if that's not racketeering, what is racketeering? There are two systems in America. Those who have, which is 90%, 99%, 47, no, we're 47%, but more than 47%, but the 90%, we're definitely not the 1% of those who have versus those who have not. I always invite you to comment, so feel free to leave your comments on the website. You see where it's up comments, so feel free to leave those comments. But more importantly, don't walk away as a parent thinking that this is isolated. This is isolated to Atlanta, or this is isolated to the state of Georgia. This is not isolated to Atlanta, nor is it exclusive to the state of Georgia. This is our state of education. And when you read the articles that pulled a lot of information, that supplemental articles that pulled some of the information from, you would see that you are more likely, you, your grandbabies, I know I'm a grandmother, so those people who graduated me from high school who listen to the show, your child is more likely to be misled, or you and the parents are more likely to be misled about the child's knowledge, skills, and abilities, okay, than they are to be told accurately. 40 of 50 states, 40% of 50, that's 80%. You have an 80% likelihood that you live in a state, 80% chance that you are in a state that will lie to you about your child's, about the child's knowledge, skills, and abilities than not. We didn't talk about school districts, so yeah, that's that math, but it is 40 of 50. I want to thank you for listening to Classroom DNA with Phyllis Austin. Please go to tnpec.org because now more than ever, and just education in general, we need our national online classroom, our national online classroom where we can educate parents on education so they will have the truth. And when you have the truth, when you understand what the truth is, you are able to make better choices and really help maximize your child's greatest potential. Thank you and have a great day. Great weather in Atlanta. Please enjoy it, okay? And as always, we're going to end with Earth, Wind, and Fire. You are a winner. Thank you.